Cliff and Bronte.
I'm back.
Oh,
I'm back. Oh. After Bronte's dirty little week.
Dalliance
with another man.
It didn't mean anything. I was thinking of you the whole time.
Yeah, right.
I swear,
it's
you
so
know
funny,
that.
Because we both have new co-hosts next year, and I was in the building. Let's just make, you know what, let's just make this our podcast opener.
Okay.
Because I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop talking.
Okay, great.
Keep
this
tape
is all
rolling.
In.
We both have new co-hosts next year, and yesterday I was back in the building, and I was like, oh, I'll see you at 9, because I was really keen to chat to you and, you know, see how the week's been with another man. But then I realized that I was going to coffee with my other woman.
With your other
at 9
woman.
O'clock.
And can I just say, my other man, when he said, he called me on it this morning, he said, when you were here yesterday, he said, I felt very upset in the way that I apparently lit up and,
really?
And left at the conversation that he and I were having to go and see
well,
you.
Well, Lakey, if you're listening, she ran straight out into the sound lock and I got a big cuddle, mate. So, look, you might be the fling, but she knows where she sleeps at night.
What's so funny is that you're introducing this podcast and then Lakey's about to...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I'm here. So I'm back next. So one more week, and then the show is wrapping
yes.
for the year, and just wrapping.
But we've got some good Chrissy. Speaking of wrapping, good Chrissy
yes.
stuff coming up.
Ham guy.
Apparently, Alpha Bucks is going like crazy on
yes.
Friday week.
I've
just FYI.
That. So yeah, and you know, stuff coming up on the podcast. I'm not going to lie, I didn't listen. So
I'll tell you. We talk about quitting your job early
yep.
on. What you've won at an arcade.
Yes.
And
gold.
Probably something Taylor Swift. Like, you've been gone for a week, but nothing's changed.
Nothing. That could be a carbon copy of our show. It's coming up. This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast featuring Lakey, the other man.
Judging by your facial expressions, I'm assuming you heard me clear my throat just before I started speaking.
You just had
breakfast.
7 minutes to clear your throat and you waited until then.
I think it's more of a nervous tick, to be honest.
Okay.
Not a tick. No, just, you know, a nervous sort of
thing to do.
Thing to do beforehand. Okay. I'll just hate for halfway through for my throat to give out, you know?
Don't be nervous. You're doing a really good job.
Thanks, Bay. it is 6:26, filling in for Cliffo this morning. He's going to be back Monday. And this is a good story. Man figures out how long it would take to watch everything on YouTube. Quite a bit of gear on YouTube these days.
Is this, I need some clarification, which I'm sure you're going to give me.
Mm.
Is this looking at every single YouTube video that has ever been uploaded from the beginning of YouTube?
From the beginning of YouTube, the only cap until right this second.
Okay.
The caveat being that no more videos are allowed to be uploaded.
Okay, great.
Because there's 2,500 videos uploaded every minute and it would just get further away from you at all
yes,
times.
Yes.
So there's a little clue, I guess. I guess this is less about the information in the story, but more me trying to gauge you and Harry's, like, maths, you know, whether we could even get to a ballpark. Because I'll admit, I gave myself the challenge before reading the answers, and I was way off.
Yeah, look.
Right. So everyone across Queensland right now should just, how long do you reckon, you know, minutes, hours, months? Years?
Years.
Decades?
It would have to be years, if not...
Yeah. Well, you're already one step better than me.
Like, heads up, really, really bad at estimating and maths. Like, I'm really bad when people said, how many people are in this room? I'll be way off.
Mm.
And maths, I used to cry at the kitchen table while Dad yelled at me about fractions. So I'm just scarred.
Right.
4/8
is 1/2.
No. We know I'm very good at time tables because of it.
Okay. Right. 800 million videos on the website, if that helps. Average video length, 11.7 minutes.
Really?
If that helps.
It's a lot of get ready with me's. You love a get ready with me.
God, that's the one we were supposed to do. We were talking off the air yesterday. There was something we should speak about that we talked about off the air, and now we've remembered it on the air. Good radio. So let's save it for next year.
Okay.
What boring genre of YouTube video do you watch? People getting ready in the morning. Unbelievable. Spat at me cornflakes when Langbrook revealed that.
We've got to be looking at hundreds of thousands of years.
What?
Okay.
Have I gone too high?
Okay, so.
Right. Hundreds of thousands, he says. 300,000 years, you reckon, Harry? To watch all the videos on YouTube?
I'll go 300,000.
300,000 okay. years. I'm going to go 27 years.
Is that all? Oh, no.
What?
you put so much thought into that. You were genuinely doing some sort of maths equation in your head.
Oh, you're like, all right, if I can watch 4 get ready videos before I go to work each morning.
plus
Mr. Beast's viral clips, that would mean.
I went with Harry as well. I said like 500,000 years or something stupid. The answer is, technically Bronte is much closer. 17,810 years.
Get ready with me while I win radio games.
We are trying to figure out, did Harry do the wrong thing by his neighbours? Everybody
needs good neighbours. I can't imagine our Harry doing anything wrong by anyone.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Innocent hazmat jazz cat. Getting into trouble with his next doors.
What happened?
Well, do you guys have a bit of a relationship with your neighbours? Because I've gotten to the point where they were very friendly on one side when I first moved in.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, we haven't spoken and I feel like I've missed my window to talk to them. And now there's this awkward kind of like avoidance thing that we're doing.
I live in an apartment and I have a theory that no one actually lives in my apartment with me. It's a whole Truman Show thing. Oh. So I don't have neighbours to befriend.
Okay. Got a whole commercial property to yourself. How lucky.
Yeah.
I live in apartments as well, but a lot of them are holiday. So both sides of mine are just people who come and go, a revolving cast.
Yeah.
So if they're, you know, an old couple, then I don't speak to them. If they're, a party of 5 or 6 females between the ages of about 18 to 65, uh-huh. I'll go around with some Toblerone and some flowers and obviously make friends because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah, very welcoming.
But so you moved in first couple of days, you've made a good impression and now you're like,
and then
since then
we just have not spoken and that was kind of fine. Like we just continued doing our own things, but there was a bit of a make or break moment just after the show this week that I couldn't avoid and I feel like this was the moment where it all could have been changed.
Sure.
So I'm driving home from work and I'm coming down the street and there's been a few car thefts and break-ins recently.
It's Queensland, baby.
And I see some flashing blue and red lights in the middle of the day as I'm pulling in and I think, what could this be? And as I get a bit closer, it's an ambulance.
Oh, no.
And the back door is completely open. There's nobody in there. And I pull in and I have to walk out right next to the ambulance.
Okay.
And now everyone from that house is all standing in the street and one of the neighbours is being wheeled out on a stretcher. They seem like in good spirits.
Sure.
They're smiling.
There wasn't a sheet over them or anything.
But now I have this moment of, do I say something or acknowledge or whatever? Because I have to walk right past the ambulance and the family in the street. What do you do in that moment?
You talk to the family. Absolutely. You check in with them.
We do have a bit of a good thing going of not talking to each other.
Wow. Yeah,
I feel once the ambulance is involved and you've lay witness to someone getting wheeled into it, at the very least a token gesture of, is everything okay?
And that's coming from Lakey. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Because I kind of thought in this moment that, respect their privacy, give them space. They don't want to be stepped on or intruded on. So I just tried to pretend everything was normal, checked the mailbox on the way through, and just straight past.
You even delayed the process of going into the house.
I wanted it to look organic.
Oh my God. No, say hello.
Say hello, Harry.
Is everything okay?
What did you call him? Hazmat Jack Cat or something?
Hazmat Jazz Cat, you've failed. And I bet they're on a rival radio station right now.
Yeah.
Someone's done. Us. Do you have crappy neighbours? Like, well, you'll never guess what happened to us the other day. Poor granddad. Hey, coming up next, can you beat Bronte?
Oh.
Lakey versus Bronte.
Best of five.
It's on, baby. Thought you'd never ask. Yes, yes I can. Mm-hmm. Yes I have and yes I will. Maybe the first rocky bit of tension in the show's history.
Yeah.
With two competitive beasts locking horns like a couple of gazelles in the jungle.
Well, are you a naturally competitive person?
Yeah, I'd be way more competitive than you. Oh, sorry, that's my natural competitor.
and you have a lot of clever knowledge I've noticed over the last couple of days. So this is the perfect final frontier for this.
Yeah, Harry asked us like a little question or a brain teaser off the air a couple of days ago and I schooled you
that
and you were very tense after that. You were like, oh, you're smart, aren't you?
Yes, I know. Like, it was the first time I realised.
Yeah.
I think the first time I met you, I said multiple times that I was surprised by your intelligence.
Undersell, over deliver. You're pretty smart and you're competitive as well. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be Can You Beat Bronte? No People's Dud. You'll run into the soundproof booth.
Bye.
Whose general knowledge will be better? Harry's got the questions. The same five, of course, for both of us. 30 seconds.
Yes. All right, Lakey. Your time starts now. What six-letter exercise move combines a squat, a push-up, and a jump?
Burpee.
A Scorpio is represented by what symbol?
Pass.
In the Pixar movie Cars, what is the name of the tow truck?
Lightning?
Venison comes from which animal?
Deer.
How many vowels in the English alphabet?
Five.
All right.
No, and I passed on one.
Oh, you did. Scorpio. Sorry, yeah. Scorpio is represented by what symbol?
Is it the 69?
Lock something in.
69.
All right, that's locked in.
Damn it. That's its logo. There's one with a 69 logo. My two weaknesses in life.
Hello.
All right. I'm not too confident. This is right for the picking here. You can have bragging rights until next year when we start the show, because I feel the two that I didn't get are your strength.
All right. I feel like Bronte. Be doxing me or whatever they say. Not that.
It's not that.
Doxing?
He's ghosting me in the quiz. No, I'm not.
Great.
Your time starts now. What six-letter exercise move combines a squat, a push-up, and a jump?
A burpee.
Scorpio is represented by what symbol?
Scorpio, a crab.
In the Pixar movie Cars, what is the name of the tow truck?
No idea.
Venison comes from which animal?
Lamb, sheep.
How many vowels in the English alphabet?
Five. And sometimes Y.
Five and sometimes Y?
Yeah.
Why is why a vowel?
Damn it. Why did I say a crab?
All right. Why'd you say why as a vowel?
Go through the answers.
Quieting him. All right. Question number one. What six-letter exercise move combines a squat, a push-up, and a jump? You both had burpee.
That was a weird question.
Yeah. Scorpio is represented by what symbol?
A scorpion.
You actually said a crab.
Yeah, I know.
Of course it's a scorpion.
And Lakey said 69.
Yeah, but you know the logo.
I do.
Is the Scorpio the 69 logo? I'm going to Google that.
What is the answer?
Well, I've got scorpion on the
show. Yeah, of course it is.
Mm. Yeah.
Scorpion in brackets 69.
I think that's Gemini that you're thinking of.
You're right.
Yeah, just don't do that on a work computer. Mm. In the Pixar movie Cars, what is the name of the tow truck? Both didn't have any idea.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Mater. Lakey put in Lightning McQueen. Venison comes from which animal? Lakey had deer.
You said sheep.
What is it?
It's deer.
Damn it!
The point goes to Lakey's what up. Yes. And how many vowels in the English alphabet? You both locked in five, which means Lakey has got the win.
No, but it's sometimes Y. It's A-E-I-U and sometimes Y.
I don't think it's official, though.
What? That is like I before E except after C. It's been proven wrong so many times just because it sounds cool. Well, I got you on venison then in the end.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time someone said that to me.
I thought Lightning McQueen is in Cars as well, isn't it?
I just knew it wasn't Lightning McQueen, so I wasn't going to waste my breath.
Okay, one of the great animated cars, Lightning McQueen, and also my drag name, come to think of it. So... All right, I got bragging rights till the end of the year then, don't I?
Yeah. Why did I say scorpion?
Why did I say 69?
I think we all know.
Yeah, okay. Big news. Almost lifting the lid on what is the claw machine that we've seen in shopping centres, arcades around the country. Always hooked in with the claw machine.
Very much so.
Do I need a big novelty fluffy Mario? Not really, but it's the challenge that gets me every time.
Mm-hmm.
This will explain why sometimes you feel that you've really nailed the exact geography of where the claw should be, the perfect drop, and then it gets it, and then it drops whatever toy seems to be in its grasp. Someone's revealed this on TikTok.
I bought this claw machine. I found this at the back of the machine. How about it? You can change the rate
of success. So, you know, in the claw, like, it's not clawing. You can pick it.
You can pick it. What she's showing is a little chart at the back if you want it to win 1 in 2 times, 1 in 10 times, 1 in 50 times. And then there's a little screw that you just move to whatever setting, and that determines how tight the claw machine's going to grasp, meaning that they fixed it in the children's casino's favour. House always wins.
It makes sense. But you know what? I mean, the amount of time and money I have wasted on claw machines in my 30 years, I've learned that you can only really use the ones that have the little rubber stoppers on the end of the claws, or else you're just wasting your time.
I see. It's more of a grip game.
It's a grip thing, but now
you want more purchase.
Now it's all gone out the window with the idea that they could just rig it no matter what, grippers or not.
It doesn't seem legal, does it? I'd love to speak to the ombudsman about this. Write it down on the whiteboard for next year. We don't have enough time for the Friday. But I mean, claw machine, I think we know this. We go into the arcade going, hey, this is going to be a little bit of money. We're probably only going to be able to walk away with a slinky and
yes.
5 gobstoppers.
Yes.
It's about the experience. But I'd love to know on 13 10 60 if you've hit the jackpot. Lucky or in the arcades.
In
if
the
you've
arcade.
Won big at something.
Because yes.
right? It's not just the claw machine, is it?
It's, no. It's those weird ones, because I was in a time zone only weeks ago with my sister, and it's those machines that have like iPhones hanging down or like Apple Watches or something, and the lights go around the machine and somehow you have to stop it and they win an iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Did the Langbrooks go into there or like bright-eyed bushy tail go, this is going to be Casino Royale all over again, isn't it?
Yes, we did.
Ocean's 14 coming in hot.
Was this just
iPhone?
The downstairs at your house?
That's the playroom, as we call it. That's what we like.
2 hours later, they just come out dejected with a whoopee cushion. Like, oh, whatever. Dumb anyway.
I want to know the people that have won big on the claw machines,
yes.
on those weird, the light-up machines, just any of those arcade things that you think, surely no one's won on them.
I won the jackpot on the Deal or No Deal.
What do you mean, the actual TV show?
No, no, no. There's a Deal or No Deal game at the time zone that
what?
I go to. Yeah, and it's like it's an American one, and they've got all the girls on the graphics on the screen.
Yeah. Meghan Markle there?
No, was she a Deal or No Deal girl?
You're the second person.
She was a dealette. Oh, you're really into it. You're really into this. Okay. No, I won the jackpot. I cheated, and I'll tell you how.
If you
Next.
Tell your stories.
If you tell your stories. An eye for an eye, Queensland. And a tooth for a tooth. Will leave us all blind and toothless. We are taking your calls on 13 10 60. Robin, you hit the jackpot?
And that wasn't me, it was my young fella.
What did he win?
He won I thought it was a DS. It's actually a little MP3 player thing.
Oh.
You play a little Apple thing you download songs to.
Yeah, sure.
And
did he win this 30 years ago? Or were they just trying to flog off the final MP3 players of the world?
Well, he's not 30, but it was probably about, 18 years ago, yeah.
Okay. What did he do? What was the game?
So you had to shoot a key into the key slot. So you lined a key up.
I know
how
the one.
How the hell he did it, I have no idea.
Wow.
I know the exact one. And much like the claw machine where it's sort of rigged that the house will always win, I have a feeling as well that you'd probably be able to set a little setting at the back of the key machine
Ooh.
Going, even if you get it bang on,
yep.
we're going to make sure that it doesn't win. So I reckon right place, right time, with the right amount of skill as well for your young fella.
They really worked well. You either got a DS or an MP3.
The thrill when the key just slides right in. It's a hell of a feeling. Well done, Robin. Thanks for that.
No
Robin
problem.
By name, Robin by nature. Hayley.
Hayley.
13 10 60. You hit the jackpot?
Yeah, my partner and I got really good at Monster Drop, and we figured out the timing, so we got the jackpot every time. But then we were both playing the game like separate, like next to each other, and we both got the Monster Jackpot at the same time, which was like 10,000 tickets or something. So. Yeah, over the time we've won like 4 PlayStation 4s and Xbox, TVs, all sorts of stuff.
Am I being silly asking what the Monster Drop
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Claw machine?
Yeah, it's the one where like there's a little disc that spins and you got to try to get the ball in the holes, and depending on which hole you get it in depends on how much, how many tickets you get.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah, and so we timed it that we got the like jackpot of, I think it was 1,000 or whatever at the time. But then, yeah, we got too good at it. They ended up taking the machine away.
Oh, that's how you know you've got them. When the pit boss comes down from his lair at the arcade, go, get these two.
Well done. Oh, we should do a tour of Queensland with you guys and just milk everyone dry.
Yes.
Come back with like 10 Xboxes and an MP3 player for good measure, of course.
What about, they've taken it away. Have you found a new machine?
We've been playing the DC, like the card collector game, because with that, like once you collect the whole set, you get like 18,000 tickets or something.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that. So yeah, we've got spare room just full of all these cards.
Oh, wow.
I'd love to see your prize cupboard as well. All the big ticket items that I can only dream of. The big Pac-Man cushion, the Monopoly Deluxe. Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah,
you love to hear it.
Collected some good stuff over the time.
Good on you, Hayley. Well done to you and Hubs. Sophie on 131060, wrap this up for us.
She's gone.
She's gone. Leaving just enough time for me to deliver on my promise of how I won the Deal or No Deal jackpot.
Yes.
So the Deal or No Deal. At the start, obviously, you've got to pick a briefcase, right?
Yep.
And on the graphic screen, all the suitcases are there. But then you know how the suitcase will cross and then they'll go up and then they'll go down and they move across. And then before you know it, they're going so fast, it's impossible for the naked eye to see. What you do, and the arcades don't want you to know this, and we'll probably get censored, but you film it on your iPhone in slow-mo. And then quickly go back through watching the slow-mo video where the jackpot case is.
We've got to cut it. Oh, God.
They're interfering. If I don't rock up Monday, you know what's happened to me. I won't be here Monday, actually. Don't panic.
Alpha Bucks back Monday the 27th of November.
Wow, we have gotten tantalizingly close the last couple of days, some 9 out of 10s. So your free answer for Monday is Belle.
Belle.
B-E-L-L-E.
As in, you know, the one who fell in love with the beast.
Correct, Amundo. Yeah. Bit of bestiality there.
I don't.
Well, no, she didn't act on it.
Oof.
But she just like.
Just anyway. Really throwing your foot right in the puddle there. Belle, your free clue for Monday's Alpha Bucks on here.
How quickly did you quit your job?
Yes.
Can we take quick firings too?
How quickly did you have to fire someone from a job or how quickly did you quit a job? You're obviously filling in this week while Cliffo's away, finding out a bit about each other.
Oh, no. 4 days in, I've handed in my resignation.
But we're finding out a lot about each other and off the air, you, Harry and I were, how did we start talking about Subway? Does anyone remember?
Harry mentioned sandwich artiste for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, fancy job titles.
Yes, and you said that is actually a harder job than people realise and you couldn't hack it.
I couldn't hack it. Being a sandwich artist, you've either got it or you don't in the biz. And after 4 hours, I was done. Two big reasons I remember. A, they give you plastic gloves that you've obviously got to wear.
Mm.
Very hard to peel the cheese.
Right.
It comes in big packs and it's got little grooves in it. But when, you know, you've got gloves on as well, very hard to separate one old English from another old English.
Mm-hmm.
And also I would forget at the end to cut the sandwich in half
with
the knife. So I would just be handing over like foot-long logs of meatball.
Weapons.
Yeah, veggie delights. Instead of cutting it, obviously, you know, in the middle so you've got 2 6-inches as well. So people would come back, you know, and it's tough because all the tradies come in peak hour.
Yeah, right. But
and it is tough. It's scary. And then you got to remember what's to toast, what you want to heat up, what not, when to do it. It was much more than I could handle.
But you that just surprises me that you gave it 4 hours one day. Now, look, like you, I don't think you're someone that can't handle the pressure. Like you're the one that pushes the buttons usually on it. Like you're doing a lot of things usually. What was it about?
I think it would be a different story if I was pushing the buttons and there was a whole heap of tradies outside and then I had to saw the studio in half every day. Yeah. I don't know. I just, at that time, I was young. I was 18 and I just thought, no, I don't need this. I'll just go and get a job at Cotton On or something.
Okay, good one.
Yeah, something more my skill set.
4 hours is the current, limit, we'll say?
We're going to have a reverse time auction.
Let's see. 4 hours.
Can we get anything less than 4 hours? Did you have to fire an apprentice after 2 hours? Something like that. Yeah, I mean, we'll take anything short, isn't it? It's really, when you just realise straight away the job was not for you.
Mm.
Any other stories or we'll go to calls?
We've got Dylan here, actually, who's called through on 131060. He can already trump yours. Dylan, how quickly did you quit a job?
Oh, it would have been...
oh, he's quit the phone line.
You still there, Dylan?
Typical Dylan, got too hard, decided he needed to get his feet dirty and thought, nah, you know what, I'm done. Yes, Dylan, you're back. How quickly did you quit the job?
Oh, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
What were you doing?
I was at, I just got a job at a servo because I just moved back up to the Moranbah in that time. I got a job at doing a graveyard shift and it just wasn't for me. I was there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then I said, oh, you know, mum's in hospital, got to go, and then just never came back.
Was mum in hospital?
No, she was asleep. No.
I am an ideas man. Mm. I come from a pedigree of inventors. I create. And I've got a brand new idea that me and my friend figured out on my birthday. So we went out, we had a nice night, and then we went back to his and we watched Crocodile Dundee and we ate nachos. And
is that a birthday tradition or just?
No, we were just out and it seemed like the best thing to do. Okay. We just wanted to go home. I'd never seen Crocodile Dundee. I'd never eaten nachos before. I'd eat nachos. And we had it all. And we were trying to open this jar of salsa that he bought. And it was like an artisan salsa. It wasn't one of your, you know.
El Paso.
It wasn't an old El Paso.
Yeah.
It was just one that he might have bought at a craft market or something. And we were both trying to open the jar for ages. And neither of us could open this jar.
What?
And we're both there, you know, men, ego.
Smacking it on the counter.
Smacking on the counter, Googling how to open these jars. Couldn't do it. We put it under hot water.
What?
And after, it just wouldn't open. It just would not open. And after 15 minutes, we thought, is this a joke, salsa? Is this impossible to open? And that's the funny part of
it. Impossible salsa.
The impossible salsa. Eventually, we did open it after putting it like in boiling water for 10 minutes
oh
and then letting it cook.
God.
And then we managed to open it, but the idea was already planted. And we said, we can be the official creators of impossible salsa.
Okay.
Where you would basically manufacture something. Let me put this right in it. There is no salsa in the jar. It is not glass. The jar cannot be opened, and it's not a jar that's just super glued shut.
Okay.
This is literally almost a prop that looks exactly like a jar of salsa, weighs exactly like a jar of salsa, but is almost perspex or fiberglassy with a red stained interior and then a fake label treating it like salsa, but it's not salsa. And then the jar could never be opened. It would be impossible to open it even with an angle grinder, but that's the joke.
Okay. Right?
So then impossible salsa, and the label will be called El Besop Mi Salsa. This is a very important part because what's El Besop Mi backwards?
Is it impossible?
Impossible. Spanish branding.
Okay.
And the English language backwards. El Besop Mi Salsa. You buy some El Besop Mi Salsa, a.k.a. prop gag gift.
Yes.
Give it to your dad for Christmas. Secretly film him trying to open the salsa. The viral marketing campaign speaks for itself. And then at the end it's like, oh, Dad, what's El Besop Mi backwards? He's like, oh, impossible. What are you children like? Oh.
All right, I'm just acting as one of the sharks, if you were on Shark Tank.
Yes.
Do we think that the after a few kind of viral videos, people would probably pick up on the joke and then sales would plummet?
This has one season and one season only. We want to launch it next Christmas because we only figured it out about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
It's too quick a turnaround to get a Chinese manufacturer to make it for this Christmas. So it's all set to launch, I feel, next October, viral campaign. Here's a little gift, a little stocking filler for Dad.
That's
Christmas
a good one.
Day.
I think it's a great idea.
It is a good idea. And we've Googled it. There's nothing like it out there. There's like a fake envelope. Sort of thing where it's like the impossible envelope doesn't open. But
I think I like that better, actually.
No. This is no salsa. So my question to you guys is, you love the idea. It's not a bad idea. You got to admit, it's not a bad idea.
It's a funny idea, yep.
Mm. How much would you pay? Would you guys pay? Because we're struggling to figure out if this is a $3 RRP or $300 RRP.
I think somewhere in the middle. I'd say around 30. Okay.
We know you can't do maths, but that's not the middle.
Yeah. 150. Sold. Settled.
Realistically,
you'd pay $30 for a joke salsa?
Well, you'd pay 30? If I think about how much I'm probably going to spend on my dad this Christmas, I'll probably spend around $30 to $50. So that's what I'm thinking.
All right. I don't think we're going to have the whole business strategy just revolving around what Bronte Langbrooks spends on John Paul.
But sure.
30, that's not bad. Yeah, I'll take 30. that.
We were thinking slightly cheaper.
No.
Harry? I've got $5 in my account, but I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm all in on five. Yeah.
Somewhere between, well, let's split the difference between 5 and 30.
I can't do maths, you know.
No, we'll probably get that answer by the end of the show. 5 and 30. But around $17 plus postage and handling.
Yeah, it gets okay. It back up to the 30.
Good,
perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Well, if anyone would like to invest and give us a leg up.
You just put it out on Queensland Radio.
Yeah.
It's already gone.
I know. Someone's already got it. God damn it. My cash cow. Right now, though, on this day.
Cliff on Brunties on this day.
Yes, Harry, who is pushing the buttons for us, has looked back in history on this day, November 24, and has some big events that happened, Lakey, and you and I have to guess what year these happened individually. Not just one big day in history.
Yeah, sure. So like celeb birthdays, monumental events.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
Yeah, we'll jump straight in.
Yeah, don't answer. Let's just do. Okay, good one. Thanks for calling me up, Matt.
Let's start here. Open Gangnam
Style. Yeah.
So Gangnam Style became the most viewed YouTube video, surpassing 808 million views. It's currently sitting at 4.9 billion. What year did this happen?
Yeah.
So this it became the most. Not that it was released.
Yes. So Gangnam Style became the most viewed YouTube video, surpassing 808 million. Since gone on to 4.9 billion with a B.
Goodness gracious.
Oh,
I still remember the first time someone showed me that, and I was very intrigued.
That's what led you down that big rabbit hole of K-pop.
It was.
That was the gateway drug.
I've written 2014.
Yeah, you've thrown me with when it broke the record.
Yes.
I reckon I know when it was released.
Me too.
I think it had a hot... I think it just went pretty go-to-woe straight away. So I'll say 2013.
2014?
Yes.
It was 2012.
Oh my God, the same year?
Yeah. Hot stuff.
Well, there you go.
Well, you
flash in a pan.
Because you were closer too.
Good.
All right. The second one. On this day, a man by the name of D.B. Cooper purchased a one-way ticket from Oregon to Washington. He demanded four parachutes and $200,000 in $20 bills before hijacking the plane and then parachuting out with the ransom money. An extensive manhunt ensued, but the hijacker was never identified or caught, resulting in one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in U.S. history.
D.B. Cooper jumped from an airliner in flight, carrying $200,000 in ransom cash, and disappeared in the woods of the Pacific Northwest.
So we should have just let that explain it.
It's so annoying. I've seen so many podcasts that I follow, like Just the Gist, that do stories about D.B. Cooper. I've never listened to it because I found it boring.
I'm glad you had some actual news audio accompanying that, because when you were reading, I thought, oh, this is the start of a murder mystery night, isn't it? I've never heard of this at all. I would have no idea. I'm only going by the quality of audio for the news report, and it sounds reasonably modern, so I'll just throw out 2009?
I think it was very early. I think it was in the early days of like aviation, commercial aviation. So I said 1962.
All right. The win goes to Bronte here. 1971.
Ooh. I'll have to listen to that podcast.
All right. Final piece.
Anything you need, just put in my tab, okay?
Thank you, dear. Touch me again, I'll drown you. I'll just sit here and watch you move in on my family.
Mrs. Doubtfire was released, starring Robin Williams. Oh. After his divorce, father disguises himself as a female housekeeper to spend time with his kids. Directed by Chris Columbus, it won the Academy Award for Best Makeup.
Oh, I love this movie.
What year?
Only best makeup, wow.
Yeah, it's probably the meringue pie on his face.
What does he shout? What does he shout?
I might have actually. Ready?
Hello! Oh, I'm sorry to frighten you, dear. I must look like a yeti in this getup. This is my nightly meringue mask, part of my beauty regimen.
Okay.
Add this to a long list of movies I haven't seen.
You haven't? Oh, you've missed out.
I've seen bits and bobs over the time.
Well, not to like add any more pressure to the situation, but you're both 1 point apiece, so this is the decider.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
I've said it came out in the year I was born, just to end a fantastic year that was 1993.
Ooh, my gut was saying 1991.
Ooh, okay. The win goes to Bronze.
Yeah!
1993.
Oh, ring-a-ding-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
What a great year for history.
I was born.
Mrs. Doubtfire happened. That's it.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.